happy childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Here we go again. Get it?
That's the name. I think that's the sequel. I think it's called Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Okay, well, yes. Okay.
Fine. And are we going to watch that one next?
If you want.
Feels like it. This definitely felt like part one of a two-parter, didn't it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I had a really fun time with it.
Yeah, I did too. Blown away, Jack.
Yeah.
For the last... When did this movie come out? 2008?
Yeah, something like that.
So for like the last like 12 years or whatever, I've just like scoffed and been like...
Yeah, no, same. It would never occur to me.
Absolutely not.
No. Why would I do that? I like ABBA.
Yeah, I do too.
I like ABBA and I like rom-coms, but there's literally no way that I would have consented to watch this film under
And then I sat down to watch it this morning, had the time of my life.
Yeah, it was great.
So fun, so full of hits. So we watch Mamma Mia. Hello, this is Strange Bedfellows. My name's Dan
Yeah,
Greenring.
It's the boys. And I'm Jack Shepherd.
And we watched the film Mamma Mia this week. It's a romantic comedy musical.
Yeah.
Our first.
Yeah.
I believe.
And it's starring famous actress Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
What?
And she was great.
She was amazing.
You know what? If today's about honesty, if today's about vulnerability.
Today's about
you know,
those things. Yeah.
I'm going to say this too.
Say it.
I always thought Meryl Streep was a little overrated. Everyone's so obsessed with her.
Wow. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Wow.
And it's like, okay, cool it, y'all. Like, she's fine.
Cool it. Cool
then
it.
Then I watch
Meryl
a movie
Streep.
Like this, and it's like, oh,
what a talent.
Effervescent. Effervescent.
Effervescent. That beautiful. Evanescence.
She popped off the screen. Evanescence. She brought me to life.
She woke you up inside.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Yeah. It's a segment we do. It's called Dramatis Personae. Famous actress Meryl Streep, but she's not the only famous actor in this film, is she? Remington Steele is in this
one. The only famous actress, but yes, she's not
the only famous. We say actor for boys and girls now in the 21st century.
Okay.
Remington Steele is in this one. Mr. Darcy is in it. And Stellan Skarsgård. One of these things is not like the other. I guess this is an opportunity for us to do another hit segment, I guess within this segment, that's called, as you know, Guessing the Mystery.
You're guessing the mystery.
Yes, and I was going to text you about this, but I know you've already watched the film and absorbed it, so you know what the mystery is.
But I guessed the mystery. I wrote down my guessing the mystery before I knew. And what I wrote was this. I think Stellan Skarsgård is going to be the husband. And my reasoning was that one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he's a handsome man in his way. But, like, you've got Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
You've got Remington Steele.
You got him up against
James
Titans.
Fucking Bond. And then it's, like, old man from Thor.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, so that's the odd one.
But guess
out,
which one of these
he's gonna be the husband.
These brutes, guess which one of these hunks and a half is the one who ended up kind of showing a little hiney in this movie.
It was Stellan, and he looks great with his bottom out.
He's got little whatever those little Egyptian hieroglyphic eyes are called, tattooed all over his body for some reason. He's sort
like
of an adventure
of
man. Should we do
they
it? So yeah, we're doing
that. Yeah,
dramatic. Dramatis Personae.
Yeah, we're doing Dramatis Personae.
So the old man from Thor is in it. He's like a swashbuckler. He's like kind of a travel writer. I don't know. Like a
And he has the Eye
Bill
of
Bryson
Horus
type.
Tattooed on his knees. And they just never, like, they never
on his butt
explain
cheeks.
It. They never say why, right?
Yeah, no. I think it's just to give him some depth, some dimension, you know?
And then, so it's him and it's Mr. So should we say the plot?
No, let me keep going.
Okay,
there's so many
good.
More characters to introduce.
Okay, say who
it's
else.
It's a real who's. So yes, as we said, James Bond, Remington Steele, Thomas Bourne, Dante from Dante's Peak.
Thomas Crown, you mean?
Thomas Crown, what did I say?
Thomas Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
That's Jason Bourne's
dad.
Art thief brother, yeah.
He is an industry architect, businessman from New York.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Darcy's in it, too.
Yeah, and it's
and
what's
he's
he?
Like a, can I say a creative type?
He's a creative type, I guess, yeah.
Does that feel right?
Yeah, he's a creative type. He's like us.
Yeah. and he was like a punk in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Or like 70s or 60s. It's really tough. They don't really... The timeline on this is like tough to pin down.
Yeah.
Because they do flash back a lot to when Meryl Streep, Mamma Mia.
Meryl Streep had quite a summer.
her character's name, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And at one point in either the 60s, 70s, or 80s,
yeah,
she had quite a summer. Because when they flash back to the Stellan scenes, it's like flower child, like hippies. And when they flash back to the Thomas Crown Affair scenes, he's got like a big like handlebar mustache and an afro.
Yeah.
And then when they flash back to the Mr. Darcy scenes, it's like the punk rock 80s.
Wild. But that's all in the space of one summer.
Yeah, in one summer. Yeah, it's like the heavenly plates lined up, you know, and she was able to sort of like ascend back and forth through time in one wild summer.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's part of like ABBA's mythology or if the movie is introducing that, you know, because there's this
know.
Whole other layer, and I guess we should introduce them to the dramatis personae. It's
let's
ABBA.
Say it. ABBA's not in
they
it.
Are they're at the end.
Oh, they are they
they're in they make a cameo at the end of the film. They're dancing in the crowd.
Okay, well, let me ask this question of you then, because that I think just complicates matters for me, because at one point in the film, so it's what's called a jukebox musical, folks, and I'm explaining.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm explaining this to a bunch of people who do know what that is, and I only just learned what it is.
And I'm only just learning.
Yeah, it's you know, where they just like play the songs of a band, I guess. And,
yeah, it's cool.
You know, they find different ways to get the ABBA songs in there, but one of the ways is that they all do karaoke to ABBA's song Super Trooper. And so my question is, does ABBA therefore exist in this universe as a band?
It's tough. So I think you're actually wrong.
To Super Trooper.
I think you're wrong, and if I can kind of divert us towards a segment that explains your error.
Okay.
Both Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And Mamma Mia's daughter.
Daughter Mia.
Daughter Mia.
Yeah.
Is getting married.
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
No, yeah. they both invite their like two best like friends.
Yeah,
to come to the island for the wedding. And they all live on a Greek island. A tiny Greek island.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And they both have really great like chants they do with their best friends.
Yeah. They like should have called this movie like, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, don't you think?
Don't you think?
Yeah. What they really missed.
It was like such a spectacle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so they have chants that they do with their friends.
Yeah, and I think we should do one. But before that, let me explain.
Yeah, no, please. I'm dying to know.
At the 3:15 mark.
Okay.
Daughter Mia.
Yeah.
And her friends have the chant.
That's definitely not an ABBA song.
No, but it's good.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You would feel good, like, kind of doing that with a couple of friends as, like, a form of greeting, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd love that.
And then later, when Mamma Mia's friends show up,
yeah,
they reveal that they are actually formerly a band called Donna and the Dynamos, and actually...
That's one of their
Super songs. Trooper is a Donna and the Dynamos song, and that's why
that's
they were
confusing.
Performing it.
Okay. All right, thank you for clarifying that. I thought that, okay, so they're just, yeah, okay. ABBA doesn't exist in this universe. So it's like that movie, which I haven't seen, Yesterday's, where the guy wakes up and he's the only person who remembers the Beatles. And he's like, well, I get to just make all these Beatles songs then. So that's
that. What a dream.
It's that scenario. So the premise of this movie, Hidden, is that what if you woke up in a universe where ABBA didn't exist? And you could just claim some of their songs as shit, you say.
That's what Donna and the Dynamos have done. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Donna and the Dynamos have
done. And here's their chant.
Yeah. Oh, what's their chant? Yeah.
Dynamos! Dynamite! Sleep all day and boom!
Okay. And what's that? Like, kick ass?
They all sort of like bump butts with one another when they say that
whoop
in the film.
Okay, that's cute. I like that. I like that a lot. And Dynamo, I should say, is one of the hunters in Running Man, the stalkers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Dinah and the Dynamos. Domino.
Yeah, good. Perfect. That was great.
I think we need a chant.
Oh, we need a chant. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, so what do you start with your names?
It's like Beetlebop, Beetlebop.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 Beetlebop. Does that make sense to you?
No, not really. But their one goes Beetlebop, Beetlebop, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, but the first one is...
Okay, we're going after the...
Well, I don't know. It's up to us. I think it's up to us to choose the beat we land on.
Well, do we need a third person to hit into theirs?
I think
so. Should we just pick someone?
Well,
you've got Jar Jar behind you. I see that you've got a big Jar Jar Binks on the wall behind
you.
Yeah,
he's fictional, though.
Okay.
So you want to ground this in reality.
Okay.
Does it want to be someone who's a friend of ours, or like maybe aspirationally a friend of ours? Like, who do we wish like was in... Like, if we could do a podcast with anyone, who would it be?
If you could do a podcast with anyone, who would it be? Elon?
You mean Elon. Yeah. Okay. Jack, Tanner, Elon.
And then what's the next line for them?
Gonna get their blank on.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Gonna get their...
Drink on? Or like their fuck on?
Feel on.
Hmm. I worry feel on is a little bit too much like Elon.
Okay, well, I think drink on is good.
Okay, drink on.
That's fun. Yeah. That's kind of got a party vibe. Okay, Jack, Tanner, Elon, gonna get their drink on. Then what?
No, they got them long dong.
Okay, yep, perfect. No notes.
See you at the break of dawn.
I want to say...
Party till the break of dawn.
I don't like break of dawn.
Because it's too close to dong?
Yeah, dawn and dong, to my mind, are almost indistinguishable words.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. How about this? If something's right, then they are wrong.
What about...
But we have to figure out what the something is.
What about this? Hope you like our song song. Jack,
hope
Tanner,
you like our
Elon.
Greeting song.
Yeah. Hype song?
Jack, Tanner, Elon.
Time to get their drink on.
You know they got them long dongs.
Hope you like our song song. I mean, hope you like our...
Hope you like our greeting song.
Okay.
Because that's what this is.
Yeah, fine. And let's add an extra syllable in there that doesn't need to be in there. Just, you know,
hope you like our greeting song.
Yeah, sure. I would say...
Hope you like our greeting song.
Hype song.
Hope you like our hype song. Yeah.
Good. That's perfect. Nailed it.
And I explained your error. And I managed to correct you in the process. And that feels good.
And now we've got Elon on the show. Won't that be fun?
Hopefully.
I bet he'll have a bunch of great ideas for how to make it better. He's famous for that.
Yeah. He's always meddling. Where to go from here? Are we still in Dramatis Personae? Let's explain the film. So,
yeah, let's say the film.
Daughter Mia has three daddies.
She's got three daddies.
And it's these three gentlemen. So
she doesn't know who her daddies is. She doesn't know who her daddies is. She finds her mommy's diary, and the diary says, I had irresponsible,
transcended time
unprotected
and
sex with three very handsome
I
men.
I walked the fifth dimension.
Before daughter Mia was born.
Yep.
And so she finds that diary and she's like, you know what would be fun and definitely not like creepy and intrusive? I'll secretly invite these three men from my mother's past to come to my wedding that she's organizing.
Yeah, and then they all just show up. They like literally drop everything. Like Pierce Brosnan is in like in an important meeting, like showing like a skyscraper he's designed. And he's like, sorry, gentlemen, I must leave. Like gets on a plane to Greece.
Yeah, you can probably take a beat.
Yeah. Go home and pack. Greece
is hot.
Go
home and pack. Yeah, it's warm there. But so they all agree to come, but they're then kind of misled by her, each of them, into thinking that they're the daddy. But we don't know who the daddy is.
Well, no one knows who the daddy is.
No
one find out.
We find out. Well, we don't find out.
Well, we don't find out.
We find out which one Mama Mia wants to be still in love with.
Yes.
I guess like
which
it's
one
maybe implied
her, like,
that he's
adopted
the daddy,
or potentially real daddy.
But yeah, we don't know.
It remains a mystery which of the three.
There's an easy scientific way to figure it out if you wanted to, but like they don't. It's not
on this tiny Greek island.
ABBA doesn't have a song for that.
No, they got a lot of songs. They had to. I texted you like half an hour before we began and said I only have a half an hour left and then we can get going.
Yeah.
It turned out I only had about like 8 minutes left because there's an extended sequence at the end of the film where they just do sort of a sing-along to all the ABBA songs that didn't fit.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was fun. It was everyone in costumes, fun. Like singing and dancing for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I guess they paid ABBA a lump sum for all their songs, and they were like, well, might as well take
the catalog. Yeah.
Good. And then, so then the whole movie is them singing songs about that loosely relate to that dilemma.
Yeah, pretty loosely at times.
Yeah.
At one point, Mamma Mia is sort of like prompted to say like, oh, I'm the only one who does any work around here. And then she sings a song about money.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit. It's a great song.
Good song. Yeah.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with anything.
It kind of came out of nowhere.
So what you suggested that we should not let them be the only ones who are making money hand over fist with this concept.
What an interesting concept they have here, yeah, huh?
It's a good idea.
What did you call it? The jukebox musical?
The jukebox musical.
Huh.
Hmm. And we're going to make one now, right?
I think we can. I think we can craft one of these.
So
is there a template for this? I guess there is a template. We need to find a relevant...
iconic album.
Iconic album that people like sing in the shower, you know?
Yeah.
Know every word.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find some kind of tenuous string.
We just look at the album, the song titles and some of the lyrics, and then we'll find a way to make a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll have a beginning, a middle, and an end, as all stories do.
No bad ideas in a brainstorm. I initially pitched to you, and that's about as far as we got, Papa Roach's seminal album, Infest.
Yes.
I learned from looking it up on Wikipedia that it was nominated for a Grammy, which is surprising. But I do think that like you could build a pretty good narrative out of, here's a pro. Pro number one, you could build a pretty great narrative out of cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.
Yeah.
The thing would be that the movie would be called Last Resort.
Yeah.
Cons. I think that's all probably any
kind
of us
start
know
and stop there.
About
yeah.
Papa Roach. But we could check. We could have a look and see what some of their other. Let's have a look at some
you
of their
pull
other
up,
songs.
Pull type. Up his discography. Their discography. Sorry.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you what I pitched you in the chat before we began.
Yeah.
That might be suffering from some of the same problems, is I thought we could do 1994's Under the Pink and kind of center it around the story of...
Oh, Tori.
The Cornflake Girl.
That's fun, and I know that pretty well.
But I was going to say, I don't know if my knowledge of Under the Pink extends past the Cornflake Girl.
And a Tori musical is going to get pretty dark pretty fast.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It can, you know, that happens.
It's not going
like
to be
a dirge musical.
Fun one. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't all have to be fun, you know? You think a Papa Roach is going to stay fun?
I mean, you know, if Last Resort is anything to go by. Let's see. We got Broken Home, Between Angels and Insects, Snakes, Revenge, Blood Brothers. Yeah, this won't be fun at all.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, what's fun? Bare Naked Ladies is pretty fun.
Oh, BNL. Yeah, what's that album called? I think it might just be self-titled.
But again, I only know a couple of their songs.
Oh, yeah, right. Look at, oh, I'm Jack. I don't know every song on Stunt, 1998's Stunt. I've never heard the song If I Had $1 Million.
I do know that one.
Oh, wait, that one's not on here. No, I don't know a single one of these other songs.
All right, should we hone in on someone else?
Well, what's an album we both know, front to back?
They Might Be Giants, Flood.
No, I don't. I'm not actually a They Might Be Giants fan.
I could do a Radiohead album.
Radiohead feels a little too on the nose, doesn't it? That's like something that you could see a jukebox, like a moody jukebox musical.
I
guess Radiohead fans are too like...
Radiohead fans would not
too
like
Gen X. Yeah.
The musicalification of...
Then that's exactly why you do it, huh?
Yeah.
It's got to have it's got to have that X factor. How about this? Best albums of, let's say, like 2002?
The Coldplay, the musical?
Well, man, I tell you what, if you think you know Tori,
yeah,
I think we can make something work there.
Okay, fine. We'll do Tori. So I guess the movie's going to be called Cornflake Girl.
Yeah, I think it would have to be.
So I'll tell you the hit Tori songs we got to include.
Okay.
100% need to have Crucify.
Okay, it's not on Under the Pink, but we're just going to go
through
discography. I guess that's what you do. That's what you do.
That's what you do, yeah.
Okay.
So, but we want to make it fun. This has to be fun.
We want to make it fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And we need to find those connections. We need to find some narrative thread that's going to hold all these songs together. Do we want the songs that Tori did about, like, things and people?
We've got a Cornflake Girl, and maybe, so do you know where the title of Cornflake Girl comes from? Would you like me to tell you? I will tell you. Are you ready for me to tell you?
Believe it or not, I think you have told me before.
I think I have. Do you remember?
It's like, I think you said, Tori Amos said it's like someone who's like a bad friend.
No,
is that right?
I wouldn't have said that. No,
Tori Amos. I'm generalizing.
Tori Amos was, before she...
That was my impression.
Before she had a music career, she was in a Kellogg's commercial.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I guess you didn't tell me that then.
I think that's true. If it is true, I will play... Yep, there it is. I found it. I will play a clip. I think I have played this clip before.
You get 100% of 11 vitamins and minerals. Ah! New Kellogg's Just Right. The perfect harmony between taste and nutrition with fruit or all grain. Mm,
just right.
Okay, so but that works then. It's like a young star of we can get this branded.
Oh, certainly. Oh god, yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So, here's another Tori song maybe we can start with that can be like our you know, like, what do you need in a movie? You need like a
you said you want to Crucify in it too,
I
right?
I want Crucify in there, but you need a conflict, right? You need an inciting event. She has the first single off of her 1996 album Boys for Pele is Caudalite Sneeze.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a classic. So you know, maybe there's a pandemic. We want to keep it fun, don't we?
Oh yeah, Caudalite Sneeze. Yeah, we can make that fun. I think that'll come out in the wash, but we'll chase that lead.
So she gets some kind of an illness. Something makes her sick. She's riding high because she just got the big Kellogg's commercial.
Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. And then she gets sick.
She gets
sick. No, the sickness is a little tough, huh?
Well, it's okay. We can have that happen, and we'll just find something to make her better with the song.
Cornflakes, I guess.
I think we need to introduce a love interest, and this isn't Tori, by the way. It's just Tori songs.
No, I know. I'm saying it's the Cornflake Girl.
So the love, she doesn't sing about boys too much, except in kind of a pretty negative way. But there is a one positive song I can think of where she is nice about a male figure. Father Lucifer.
Right,
also
okay.
Off Boys for Pele.
Yeah.
So can we have the devil is in this one?
Yeah, it's getting a little...
She gets sick, she makes a deal with the devil to try to get better, and falls in love.
Oh, it's a Faustian tale.
It's a Faustian. But with a happy, it's going to have a happy ending. Does this feel right? Does this feel good? I mean, she's not falling in love yet. What are we going to do? She's riding high from her Kellogg's commercial. Then she gets really sick. How's she going to get out of it? Well, maybe she could make a deal with Satan himself.
Yeah. So it's not a love story.
But he's
going to
be Colin Firth or whatever.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I like it.
Yeah.
And then if we want to just kind of continue to follow the Faustian path, she does have a song called God on Under the Pink.
Yes, and it's...
And that's I think, ultimately...
Following a pattern for us, it's fitting, like, smoothly onto train tracks for us, because it's fairly negative about God, that song. It's not... The opening line is, God, sometimes you just don't come through. Do you need a woman to look after you? So that's pretty good. So, but now we've got two love interests, right?
Oh, God and Satan.
Right?
Wow, what a powerful movie.
This is great so far. And so now we've got another conflict. The light sneeze is over. She's better.
And it's like, it's just like Mamma Mia, where the setup of the wedding ultimately just sort of falls by the wayside. You know, the Cornflake Girl, the Cornflake commercial, that's like...
She gets sick.
That's act one, scene one.
Cornflake commercial.
We haven't thought about that in ages.
Yeah. Then she gets sick.
She falls in love with a handsome stranger who's sort of dark, sort of like a little moody, and promises like... If she signs a contract, he can like cure her of her illness, and she can make millions as the Cornflake Girl.
And then another handsome stranger shows up,
steps in.
He steps in and makes a similar promise, of kind of a bright guy with like a big white flowing hair or whatever.
Sure,
and you know whatever God
looks like
type
Santa.
And a devil type. Yeah, it looks like Santa. Maybe it's Santa.
Yeah, it's Santa.
It's Tim Allen, played by Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's this conflict. Who does she go?
Now
and
there's
the other one can't promise her anything, just happiness.
Yeah.
I can't promise I can make you better. I can't promise that you'll be the Cornflake Girl.
Okay, that's pretty good. We need a few filler songs, and then I think we're going to have this.
Baker, she can go visit the bakery. Seems like an easy one.
Sure, we'll have
like it's
scene
just in a piece of dialogue. She'll be like, "Oh, one second, I need to pop into the bakery."
Okay, that seems fine. That's a really sad song. Perfect. What else do we have?
You know, it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Do Hey Jupiter from Boys for Pele, but do it as Drops of Jupiter by Train. Kind of a mashup.
Okay, we're gonna have a mashup. This is gonna present some rights problem, but I do think it offers us an opportunity to get a third love interest in, doesn't it?
Oh, the
Jupiter
Train. Oh, Jupiter, another heavenly body.
Yeah, another heavenly body. Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, it's like a Greek guy.
Maybe they were all in a. Maybe she met them
in her youth.
Yeah, and because they were all in like a band together, and she was like a groupie.
That's
and they were
great.
Called the Heavenly Bodies.
And we've got a song called Pretty Good Year that could be a good flashback song. It's a really sad song. I don't think it actually describes a good year. But, you know, it'll work. And it'll be like that happy year when she met all three of these men in her past.
Yeah. And then it'll turn out that Jupiter's gay.
Right.
Lucifer's, like, completely not interested. And God will kind of step up and act as a father figure, regardless of who's the father.
This is pretty good.
Or whatever.
Should we have her daughter getting married in some way? Or is that too complicated?
The cornflake girl's daughter.
Yeah.
Why not?
If we call her Anastasia, we can use a song called Yes Anastasia off of...
Perfect.
Under the Pink.
Yeah.
This is where Anastasia asks Tori if she'll pay for the wedding. I mean, Tori. It's not Tori.
No, it's the cornflake girl.
She asks the cornflake girl if she'll pay for the wedding. And she says, yes, Anastasia. It's kind of a sad song, but...
Man, I think we got something here.
I think we're on
I think
to
we
something.
Put a treatment together, and we've got pretty admittedly sad, but it's going to be like...
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to... Yeah, it's going to get some attention.
Yep.
What do we call it? We're calling it Cornflake Girl, right?
We're calling it... I think we're calling it Cornflake Girl. We do need to get Crucify in there.
Oh, right.
Maybe we can... We've given all these songs to the Cornflake Girl. Can we give God the Crucify song?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that a little on the nose? It's a flashback to his youth.
In the film we watched, Mamma Mia, they put a lot on Pierce Brosnan's back, and it's
he can't sing. Sarah and I were having so much fun with it. I we were both like, I think it ended up being impressed because it's like he can't sing, but he like 100% gave it his absolute
commits.
All, fully committed. It was great.
He can't sing a note, but I think we would want that for Crucify. Like, let's give it to like maybe
to Tim Allen. Yeah.
Tim Allen's good. And like, even though he doesn't have the talent to back it up, you know.
Maybe Jupiter can be the handsome man from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Joey Fatone?
No, the love interest. Sure, or Joey Fatone. Whatever. We don't need to cast it. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't have to cast it.
We're the idea guys. We're not the casting agents.
Great. So we'll give Crucify to God. It fits. Maybe he's just talking about his, you know, misspent youth.
Yeah.
And then what are we going to give for Lucifer? Do we need a song for him?
Yeah. Maybe Winter, because you can kind of do like a Dante's Inferno thing and be like, actually, down at the bottom of the hell, it's really cold.
It's really cold. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a really sad song.
Yeah.
And then we need something for Jupiter.
Well, he's got Hey Jupiter.
Oh, she would be singing that to him.
Yeah.
You know what's a great Tory song? Late era Tory song is Sort of Fairy Tale. And that's actually... No, it's kind of a sad song.
Yeah.
But Sort of Fairy Tale...
I think we're due for a sad one at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
That could work. You know, and that's... We're pairing her with Jupiter in the end? I can't remember. But that could be a good song for him to sing to her because
I think
like,
Jupiter steps
oh,
up.
Oh, no, I think they break up in that one. Anyway, it's sad. It's a sad. But, you know, it's nice.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll finesse the details later. I think we're on to something here.
We're on to something. This is great. The Tori Amos musical. It's called Cornflake Girl. Please, everybody, come and see it. We just need to get the rights and from Tori and, of course, Train.
Train, yeah.
Yeah.
We may as well get the whole Train catalog just in case we feel like we have another jukebox musical in our...
Well, maybe we can call the Cornflake Girl Virginia.
Oh! Beautiful.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of a nice song, I think. It's pretty happy.
Yeah, I don't think Train does sad songs. I think all their songs are pretty upbeat.
Wow, that's great.
Cut and print.
Yeah, wow, I can't wait. And folks, I know you're going to think it's sad, and yes, a lot of the songs
are going to be sad. Yeah.
Fucking heartbreaking.
There's no way around
but
it.
But it's got a happy ending.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see, yeah.
We'll figure that out. Fish out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break and come back and maybe we can do another hit segment. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I would like to introduce a new segment now that it's not new. We do it every week. But it does require that you go, leave, and get out of here.
Me?
Yep. Arbiter Tanner, it's so nice to see you.
Hello, Jack. I'm here from the future to dispense kisses to the review that I find the most worthy. And I'm all.
Can I ask you a question about the dystopian future?
Please.
I know it's somewhat forbidden because I don't want to fuck with the timelines. But can you tell me, is there a very famous movie musical based on the songs of Tori Amos by any chance? Has it been made and do people love it? Did that happen?
Yep, it's one of the most beloved pieces of media. It's like our Beowulf. Just sort of this timeless tale that's been passed down, like an oral tradition.
Like a happy ending?
No, heavens no. No. Written by a three-man team, Jack Tanner and Elon.
Wow, okay. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's so nice to hear.
And I hope that doesn't, like, somehow mess with the timeline and, like, make that happen, you know?
Make that or make that not happen.
Yeah, or make that not happen, right.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
No, if that were to somehow happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if somehow someone got it in front of Elon and he's like, yeah, I want to spend some money on Tori Amos' musical. I want to write it with these two. That'd be pretty wild.
That would be good. Yeah. And I couldn't think of a more perfect partner.
What are you going to finance it, Jack?
Yeah, I guess there'd be some financial backing. I'm not going to turn my nose up at it. We got to buy those rights, those Tory rights, man. That ain't cheap.
And train.
And train. This is a hit segment we like to call.
You know who else we should get just while we're in there?
Yeah.
Maroon 5.
Okay.
At least the first few albums.
Yeah. What's that one?
Yeah,
song
neither can I.
You know what we should get is if
darling, you're I need. It's Sunday, Jesus.
Don't want
Sunday
that.
Mornings.
Don't like it. Okay. I haven't enjoyed it so far. If we're just getting anyone, we should get Lou Bega.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you could just have, that's like five new characters and the whole.
I kind of see that as sort of like an MCU sort of thing where each
yeah.
woman is kind of getting her own feature piece. And then they come together in Mambo Number 5.
Yeah. So we make four movies. And then the fifth one.
And then
Mambo
it culminates in
four Mambo movies. Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's wow, man. I wish we'd started there.
I know. Well, next time we do a jukebox musical.
Maybe when we do Mamma Mia too. That's not why I've brought you here, Tanner, from the Arbiter Tanner from the far future. The reason that I have brought you here is for our hit segment. It's called On the One Hand.
Our review
where we
segment.
Take a look at some of the Rotten Tomatoes reviews for this film by the people, not by the critics.
The people aren't allowed to speak out in the distant future.
Okay, so this must be a treat for you.
You get exiled to the desert.
Well, these people are allowed to speak out. Maybe they shouldn't be.
Presumably turned into a vampire.
Yeah.
Or consumed by one.
Or sunk into the ocean.
There is no ocean. You mean the sand sea?
Yes, that's what I meant.
The great sand sea.
What I think we should do is look at some positive, some middling, and some negative reviews, and you can choose which one you think best sums up this actual film.
Okay.
The first review that I'd like to read for you is a 5-star review of Mamma Mia by Lorena R. One wants to say Robert, doesn't one?
Yeah, I guess that's the only... That's the only synapse that is firing.
Yeah, so
so yeah, I guess that's it.
She gave this film 5 stars on August 16th, 2018, and she says the following: "It's a great movie. Personally, I love it." And then there's 11 question marks.
I don't know, Lorena. You're gonna have to look inside your own Lorena. Soul.
I think yes, you gave it 5 stars. You didn't put any spin on the ball after "it's a great movie." There's just a period there, and not even a space before "personally, I love it." But if I had to guess, the answer to your question is yes.
But honestly, even though it's a little indecipherable, I feel the sentiment because that's how we were,
I felt. Yeah.
Talking at the beginning of the episode.
Love it?
I loved it?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. All right, Lorena. Yeah, you're right. That we feel the same way. Ava H. also gives this film 5 stars on March 17th, 2018. That's your sister, Ava.
Yeah, Ava.
Hey, I'm your sister.
Yeah. Ava, comma, his sister, or Ava, period. Hey, it's your sister.
Yeah, and that's nice to hear from her. She says the following thing. She knows what she thinks about this movie better than Lorena does. She says this: "The best movie I've ever seen in my entire life." Like the summary, she spelled S-U-M-M-E-R-Y, which I kind of like. Like the summary really says that it won't make you dance the whole 90 minutes. And then now the summary must say that it will make you dance the whole 90 minutes. And I think she's affirming that.
Oh, okay. She's not disputing it.
She's not disputing it. And then she's now switched to capital letters for the rest of the review.
Okay.
I'm not going to yell it because I don't like it when I yell and then I listen back and it just feels like too much. But imagine it's being yelled. She wants it yelled.
A yelly way, though, please.
She says, "Biddy, I was screaming and shaking every bone in my body.
What does she call me?
Biddy. B-I-T-T-Y. Okay. I think it's nice.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah.
"Biddy, I was shaking every bone in my body. This is literally the best movie ever. Also, there's a lot of O's. The best songs ever. Like, you literally just can't beat this." And then she's written the word freakaiabwkahsjebd movies. I don't know why there's a plural at the end.
Well, and do your best to sound out the word because I followed freak.
Yeah,
maybe at the
I can
beginning.
Say it. It's freakaiabwkahsjebd.
Movies.
So I think she likes this one.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree.
Yeah, I liked it too.
With a lot of it,
I was dancing the whole 90 minutes. Biddy, I think that's okay. I think you're allowed to say that. If not, You know, it's about time I got canceled, frankly.
Biddy.
Biddy.
It's
Can you say that?
Informal for tiny.
Okay, perfect. Then that seems fine.
It's a hot girl, according to Urban Dictionary.
Okay, maybe I can't say it, but I'm allowed to say that she said it.
And it's you're allowed to accept it as a compliment. She's saying you're a hot girl.
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you. Thank you, Ava. Yeah. Moving on to a middling review in our segment that we like to call On the Fence Hand. This is Philip D. gave this film 3 stars on February 15th, 2016. Philip D., Prince of England.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says the following thing in his 3-star review. A little more of Pierce Brosnan's quote-unquote singing, and it's just like another James Bond.
It's interesting he says that, because there is a couple, like, Bondian scenes.
I get that he's, like, he's got, like, all the ingredients of a joke there. Pierce Brosnan singing James Bond, which Pierce Brosnan is in.
Yeah, he threw everything he could and could think of, like, into the hat.
Let me reverse engineer this.
Shook it up.
Tell me if you think that it makes sense. Imagine a review on, like, what's a Pierce Brosnan James Bond?
Goldeneye.
Imagine this review. Like Mamma Mia, but with more singing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not wrong.
I think it is.
Pierce Brosnan is in both. That's enough. Read it to me again.
Okay. A little more of Pierce Brosnan's singing, in quotes, and it's just like another James Bond.
There was a scene that was a little out of place, and I wonder if this is what he means, where they're doing a song, because they do a lot of songs in the film. And honestly, it's not as irritating as it sounds.
No, it's great.
I know when I say that, it's like, ugh, but actually it's like pretty
fun. Yeah.
And goblins attack their like little Greek village.
Do they?
And I want, yeah, they sort of like, goblins sort of like come down from like the rocky hills around them. And they end up sort of dancing with the people in the crowd. But there's definitely a scene where there's like a bunch of, I think it's Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight is what they're singing.
Okay.
And they're all doing the women are all running around trying to find men, and then and they can't find any men. And then out of the hills come these goblins.
I must have dozed off during that part.
Well, it happened, and it felt pretty action-packed, and I think maybe that's what he's referring to.
that's what Philip D. Prince is talking about.
Go back and check it out. Really stirring. It was like the siege of Minas Tirith.
Okay, perfect. All right. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll allow it. Let's move on to the segment within a segment that we like to call On the Other Hand. We can probably discount these because it's a fun film and it's wrong to give it 0.5 stars.
Yeah, you know who's giving this 1 star?
Who?
Monster. Jack Little and Goblins. Tanner before they saw it.
Yeah.
Just out of like exactly. Some kind of like cool guy
spite. They think
spite.
It's cool.
So let's hear from these fools.
Let's hear from these fools. Anonymous gives this film 0.5 stars, half a star on
March 29th. Would be anonymous. You would have to be anonymous. You're not going to sign your name to this.
Otherwise, we will hunt you down. He says this. He. I don't know why it's a he. I'm assuming it's a guy.
Yeah.
Anonymous says this. Trash. Has nothing on Tusk, which is a great movie. Check it out.
No, I've checked out Tusk.
Okay.
And I can confirm with absolute certainty that Tusk is a terrible film, and no one should ever check it out.
Is it a movie that springs to mind when you watch Mamma Mia in a way that could make sense of the connective tissue that Anonymous
see,
is sort finding
of a,
between these
it's
two
sort of
films?
A low budget, like body horror, like in the vein of and sort of born out of the Human Centipede tradition.
Okay,
about Justin Long being kidnapped and slowly grafted and like turned into a human walrus for I think sexual reasons.
So this guy is just kind of on a crusade to get folks to watch Tusk.
And you shouldn't. And I want to repeat. I've seen Tusk. Do not watch Tusk.
It's like what I'm gonna find is willing people in the comments section of Mamma Mia. That's where I'm gonna find my victims. Okay, yeah. Well, Anonymous, you're lucky you stayed anonymous because we would hunt you down. Brian R. dares to put his name on this 1.5-star review on August 22nd, 2018. He says the following thing, and there's a big hyphenated compound word, adjective he's created. Bearable in an I'm drunk AF and need something to clown on because my copy of Paul Blart Mall Cop is being used as a coaster kind of way.
Okay, but the even the premise like doesn't hold up to any kind of scrutiny because like it's not hard to take your cup off. Like if you want to watch
Paul Blart, yeah,
which is what you're implying,
yeah,
you could just like move your cup and put the DVD in the DVD player.
Yeah, so that doesn't work.
You don't have to watch Mamma Mia if you don't want to watch it. You're not, you know what? You're not invited to watch Mamma Mia.
And if you want to watch Paul Blart so much, why are you using it as a coaster? It just falls apart under any scrutiny.
I'm learning a lot about you just from this review.
Yeah,
and it's that you treat your things poorly and you treat yourself poorly, I'm betting too, Brian.
And who are these people coming into our precious comment section for Mamma Mia and talking about other movies that have nothing to do with anything?
They're trying to like do some kind of weird like negative association thing, and I'm seeing past your lies.
Yeah, I don't
Brian
like
Brian and the last guy.
Yeah. We've got another coward who sensibly didn't. Well, he put his face on this one, so it's a different guy, but he didn't put a name.
Can you run some like forensics on it? And
he looks like an asshole.
Can you get a ping?
I got a ping from the part of my brain that registers an asshole when I see one, and he looks like an asshole. And okay. He gave this film 1/2 of a star on August 8th, 2018 with the following review. Toxic hyperliberalism.
Okay. Huh.
I think that's another movie. You know, it's the same thing. It's like if you've seen Tusk and you've pulled your coaster out and it was Paul Blart and you watched that and then you want another movie that's in the same vein, check out Toxic Hyperliberalism.
Because if it's not a movie, it's certainly not a concept I would immediately apply
to this
Mamma
film.
Mia.
Yeah. Anonymous, yeah, another coward, gives this film 1/2 a star on August 15th. 2018, I think very shortly after the second Anonymous did. So obviously these people are kind of egging
they were
each
like
other. They're
in
egging
some kind
each other
of
on.
Like
yeah, cabal.
Tavern somewhere.
This person says, the king of all moronic movies, whoever made this movie is a dumbass by nature.
Wow. Wow. Whoa.
By nature.
ABBA made this movie.
Yeah, ABBA made this movie.
And they're Coward. Great.
Yeah.
I think they're Swedish. Why didn't the film take place in Sweden?
I don't know. Finally, NTC space R gave this film 1/2 a star on November 8th, 2015 and says the following thing. It sounds like a robot.
I actually think it's a boy band, a K-pop band.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like a K-pop band. Well, they say this.
So I think it's them.
And they, boy, you're going to rip them a new one. Let me get to the end of it before you lay into them. Here's what they say. ABBA isn't in this movie. The actors were bad, and I hate the way they act. This is the worst musical film of all time. It is not memorable at all. This is worse than Hairspray.
Wow.
Okay, first of all, NTCR, I'll just say it. ABBA is in this movie.
Yeah, they are in the movie. They're at the end. They kind of
the actors
in,
are
like, they
a Beryl
zoom in
fucking Streep, dog.
She's won like a million Oscars.
And we love the way they act.
That's
everything
fun.
About what you said is false. And you know what? This I never would have wanted to, but this person's review makes me want to watch Hairspray.
I wouldn't. I've seen
oh, really?
I guess people good. Really liked it.
Okay.
I think it's one of the kind of like musicals that I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to watch something like Mamma Mia. I watched Hairspray.
Okay. I don't need to. Yeah. Okay.
That's unfair, though.
That's it. Who do you want to give your grant your precious kisses
oh,
to?
God. I think the second one.
Ava.
Yeah.
Nepotism. But yeah. Yeah. I liked her.
Whatever.
I liked her enthusiasm.
It's like a wedding. My sister's getting married next week. It's like a little bit of a
oh,
wedding
yeah?
present.
You know, I was.
I'll write that
what?
In the card.
You told me you're going to a wedding next week. You didn't say it was your sister's wedding, which is interesting. You're like, yeah, I'm going to a wedding next week.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Should I say I'm officiating a wedding next week and it's my sister's wedding?
I think it would be reasonable, since it's the first time hearing of it, to say I'm going to my sister's wedding next week. I think okay. It's weird that you left that out, but it it's doubly weird because I was immediately like, we don't go to weddings anymore. We're like past the wedding corridor in our lives. So it's weird that like, who are you going to, is it someone's second wedding? Do you know like a, you know, a young person?
I'm going to two weddings, which is why
it's
I
your
think
sister.
I is probably
oh,
obscured.
Okay.
I'm going to one this weekend in New York, a friend of Jamie's.
Okay.
And I'm going to one the next week in Colorado. My sister,
it's
Ava.
It's your sister. It's your sister, Ava.
And now I've given her a wedding gift. I chose her review.
What is it?
Or I didn't, you but chose... Arbiter Tanner did.
Arbiter Tanner did, yeah. Mm. Well, happy nuptials. Oh. Welcome back, Tanner. Arbiter Tanner was just telling me.
Oh, something about. I want to tell you, Jack.
Yeah.
Before I forget.
Yeah.
I am going out of town next week, I'm going to my sister's wedding. And I didn't know if it was like a courtesy or something to let you know that it's my sister's wedding. Actually, let me know. But
it's just the type of thing that friends would share. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm actually officiating the wedding too.
Oh, really?
And I'm probably going to make you read my notes so that you can give me the thumbs up or approve them, you know?
Please do.
Or punch them up.
Please do. Yeah, I bet I could. I'll add some jokes. I'm good at that. It's so good that friends share these important things with each other, you know? And I hope you'll tell Elon, too.
Yeah, and when he's ready.
Tweet it at him. Be one of those guys in the response. Elon, will you come to my sister's wedding?
It's going to be like the start of a really good relationship. We've got a Tori Amos musical to pitch you. Don't worry. Some guy from the future said it was destined to happen.
Yeah.
I heard it on a podcast.
Yeah. I bet we could get it done. If you gave us $1 billion, I bet we could get it done.
I think we're already getting it done. I think we're doing the secret right now. We're manifesting
it. Yeah, we're doing the secret. We're manifesting it.
And that's step one.
That's step one. I can't wait. Folks, please listen to Tori Amos. She's so good. All her songs are good. They're very sad.
Yeah. Give Papa Roach a whirl while you're in there.
Should we go? Do you want to leave?
Yep. I think I would like to go now.
Okay, we'd like to go. We'd like to leave. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week. I'd like to thank the Bee Babies and the Baby Nation and the Bug Babies and the Sex Pots for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you all day and all throughout every single day. Please, everyone, you must subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We are doing the TGIF shows, and it's fun, and everyone's having a nice time in there. So check that out, and also join our Facebook group, where everyone is also having a nice time and talking about the movies and the stuff and just other stuff, and everyone's nice. Get in there. Baby Nation on Facebook. Friends, I haven't said this in a little while. I'll say it now. I have a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe. It's called Onwards and Upwards, and you can find it at Onwords, onwords.substack.com, and I'm talking about words and language and puzzles, and it's fun, and please subscribe. And anything you want to pitch, Tanner? Tanner's sister's getting married next week, folks.
My sister's getting married next week. Everyone send her a gift, and everyone come to the wedding. Yep. Everyone's invited. And check out Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast starring me and my friend Josh. And we're just about to start a new game called
You Should Have Me On
Pokemon
sometime.
Sun and Moon. Do you want to play Pokemon Sun and Moon?
I'll play whatever you want, man. If you invite me on your...
If you come on, you want to come on for the first episode of Sun and Moon? Because then you only have to play to like the first checkpoint and then you can bail.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And I'll get you set up with everything you need to play it.
I'd be
thrilled. From the comfort of your own home.
Okay. Delighted. Thanks.
We got our first guest.
Invited. Yeah.
Settled. You can pitch your, you can plug your newsletter.
Perfect.
And maybe this show.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this show. Everybody, please do all the things we've asked. You must.
expsharepod.com.
Yep. All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a movie. The movie we watched was, of course, called Mamma Mia. Next week, we're going to be watching a little film called Singing in the Rain. It's a classic.
Yeah. We were ready for a classic. Although we could.
Ready for a classic. What?
Greek Week could continue.
With what?
We could just scrap it. Could just. I know you already watched it, but
yeah,
could just go Mamma Mia too. Here we go again.
We'll think about it. We'll talk about that off air. Next week, we're either going to be watching Mamma Mia 2 or Singing in the Rain. Probably Singing in the Rain because I already watched it. And then we're going to be doing some books.
Maybe we'll save it. We'll save it. That'll be on the horizon.
Look forward to that. It's coming. Yeah. Finally, I would like to tell you that this week, my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you take a chance on me ever after.
Fine.
Yeah. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows. Be very